This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, yes, very busy with so many things happening. Just some snippets this morning that have come through. Another attack apparently by Israeli Air Force, this time against a military base in Syria, which is very much under Russian control. It's an airbase called the Shayarat Airbase. And apparently this is an airbase that's gone major expansion by Russian military over the last 3 years. Apparently the runway and underground facilities were under attack by Israeli Air Force, it's claimed, overnight. Of course, we don't have confirmation of that. A little story coming in just from a short while ago. Apparently, an Israeli soldier was stabbed at the Ranana bus station, which is very, very close to where I am right now, near to where I live. Apparently stabbed and has been injured. The attacker was shot and is taken away in serious condition. So just a few little snippets this morning of news before we get into the main meaty bits.
Wow, wow. That's quite unusual, an area like Ranana. It hasn't seen much terror, any of these terror attacks, have they?
Ranana has experienced its fair share of terror attacks over the years, but I would say that it's certainly not one of the main target areas for terror attacks. It's quite difficult right in the central area. So this is certainly an unusual incident.
Right. The president yesterday handed the mandate to Benjamin Netanyahu to form a new government. What happens now?
The eighth time that Bibi has been handed the mandate. He hasn't always succeeded in forming a government. I think he's had three failures along the way, but certainly Israel's longest serving prime minister. And the way in which President Isaac Herzog handed him the mandate was quite interesting, because he felt forced to refer to the fact that he was aware of the ongoing criminal trial for alleged corruption that's taking place in the background against incoming Prime Minister Netanyahu. And in his words, he said the following: "I'm not oblivious, of course, to the fact that there are ongoing legal proceedings against member of Knesset Netanyahu at the Jerusalem District Court, and I do not trivialize this at all. Nevertheless, it is important to note that the Supreme Court has already expressed itself clearly on the matter of pending indictments against a member of Knesset nominated for the role of forming a government in a number of rulings, included with an expanded panel of 11 justices when the task of forming a government was assigned to Netanyahu by my predecessor, Reuven Rivlin." So he was forced to make the reference to the Supreme Court decision of 11 judges, which allowed the mandate to be handed to someone who is currently undergoing a trial of corruption. And so he said that in light of all of this and having considered all the facts, he has decided to assign the mandate to Netanyahu. And that is exactly what has happened, and that's what will be done. So now the task of forming the government falls to Netanyahu. He did say over the weekend that he thought that all coalition agreements would already be in place by today, something which I think is wishful thinking in quite an extreme manner, because obviously the negotiations that begin now in the coalition discussions will take their time and will no doubt have an interesting road to ride as this all happens. But of course, the president met with representatives of all the parties who were elected to the Knesset, and as expected, 64 of those seats indicated that they would like to vote for incoming Prime Minister Netanyahu to form the government. And so, of course, the president has his hand effectively tied in terms of what he's able to do next, because it's clear that there will be nobody else who can form a government. So aside from declaring the election effectively null and void and moving on to another round of election, he has little choice but to ask Netanyahu to form the government. And that's what the democracy of Israel requires. So that's what will happen. And, you know, as Netanyahu said, when he accepted the mandate for the eighth time, he said that he was going to form a government for all Israelis. And we've heard this a lot before when people win an election which is so divided and has such disparities amongst the people who voted. And that's what really happened here. We've got a very, very strong contingency of people who voted in favor of him and parties that are connected to him. While there was a very, very strong vote for people against Netanyahu, ultimately the Netanyahu supporters won out. And the incumbent prime minister said that he will try to form a government, that he will form a government that will be for all Israelis. I intend to be prime minister for everyone, for those who voted for me and for those who did not. But of course, there is a lot of concern amongst people about what this new government will look like. And it's quite interesting that we really have two schools of thought which are going down at the moment about the prospects of the new government. On the one hand, there are many people, particularly amongst the older generation, who say, look, this country is big enough and strong enough to survive any government that might try to take it over and might try to change the nature of the state. And there's just too much entrenched history. There's a very, very strong institutions of state. We have strong military. We have strong judiciary. We've really got strong institutions of state. And for one government to expect to be able to change all of that in the course of a 5-year term seems to be wishful thinking. So for those people who are nervous about what comes next, you're kind of overreacting. That's one school of thought. The other school of thought, particularly amongst the younger generation, say, look, this is a very serious situation, because by redirecting budgets from one area to another, rather than giving budgets to inclusive groups to allocate money back to the yeshivot, to the religious institutions, which had a lot of money taken away from them over the course of the last government, is damaging and is potentially harmful to furthering the needs of weaker members of society and of smaller groups, minority groups within the country. And that could have a major difference, have a major impact on them from day one. You don't need to be in power for 5 years to have a significant damaging impact on some of those small groups. So those are really the two schools of thought that are in play right now. And it's going to be very fascinating to see how this government is formed, who the key players are, as far as the cabinet is concerned, who gets the big jobs, particularly within the Likud, but not only, of course, we have the ongoing issue of who from the religious Zionist party will be allocated which jobs, who from the religious parties, the ultra-Orthodox parties, will be given which jobs, whether those people will be able to actually fulfill those roles. There's a lot of questions, that many, many questions that need to be answered right now. So I think we're in a state of a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of people are feeling quite downhearted about what the new government might present, particularly those in the minority. And I suppose when one talks about a democracy that it represents the will of the majority of the people, which is exactly what a democracy is, there is also a significant question about how minorities are protected within a democracy. And I think that the strength of a democracy is not only that it presents and represents the majority, but that it also has a certain protection for minorities. And I think that that's where we're going to see the real test for this government.
Yeah, I tend to, although I'm certainly no fan of the two gentlemen who are causing or maybe some of this unease, I tend to agree with the first comment, which is that the country is bigger than all of this. And this is what happens in a democracy. You get people that you might not like in government, but the role of the judiciary, the role of government is to keep everybody in check and to protect the rights. Surely that should be something that we have enough faith in the system and in the goodness of Israelis to feel confident about that.
I think a lot of it depends upon how you view how important the minority issues are to you. And if we look, for example, just to use an example at the LGBTQ community, they feel under threat right now because they feel that a government which has a lot of religious, ultra-Orthodox members of government will potentially impinge upon their rights and potentially promulgate laws which will limit their abilities to survive and to be upstanding citizens in the state of Israel when the government is really trying to limit what they're able to do in their freedoms. So a lot of people in that community, just as an example, feel very much under threat right now.
Right. A very, very big concern for Israelis, and it'll be interesting to see how the government ultimately is formed. Israel has offered security forces help to Turkey following yesterday's terror attack in Istanbul. What help can Israel provide?
Well, it's quite interesting how this is playing out, because for those people who haven't really been following the events and what took place in Istanbul yesterday, there was that major terror attack, an explosion in the central part of Istanbul. Six people have been killed, according to the latest reports that I've read, with something like 80 people injured. Initially, there was a report that a suicide bomber was responsible for this, with somebody reporting that they saw a backpack exploding. I think that we've now determined, or at least from the morning reports that I've seen, that in fact it wasn't a suicide bomber, that the bomb was actually placed by somebody, and the morning reports have said that the Turkish security have actually managed to arrest people who are connected with that. We think it's got to do with some of the Kurdish issues that Turkey is dealing with, and that they might have taken things into their own hands. Fortunately, no Israelis have been involved at all in any of the balagan, in any of the aftermath of the explosion. There were a number of people who were unaccounted for Israelis, but they've now all been accounted for, and Israelis have been told to remain in their bedrooms, in their hotel rooms, at least for now, and that no Israelis are suggested or recommended to travel to Turkey under the current circumstances. Interestingly, the government immediately came out, the Israeli government immediately came out yesterday and said, we will offer Turkey help, and we will offer the Mossad's help to allow Turkey to track down who might have been responsible for carrying out this terror attack. So immediately the Mossad gets offered to Turkey in order to help them with whatever security they need, whatever intelligence they need to try to track down what happened. I think it sounds to me as if the Turks have sort of taken things on themselves, and they seem to think at least that they know who was responsible for this and who will be arrested and held to account. Of course, the Turkish regime, notoriously quite tough on events like this, and no doubt this will be no exception. But it just shows that there is this really this real coming together of Israeli support for Turkey in spite of so much history, and in spite of last week's decision when the Turkish government announced that they will not accede to Israel's request to send Hamas terrorists, to deport Hamas terrorists who are in Turkey to Israel, the Turkish government saying that they did not consider Hamas to be a terror organization, and therefore they would not be helping the Israeli government by sending Hamas representatives who are in Turkey back to Israel for them to face justice here. I just wonder what they think today rather than last week, whether they might have changed their minds now in light of the explosion in Istanbul and unfortunately the tragic events with so many people being killed and injured. Both Prime Minister Yair Lapid and President Isaac Herzog expressed condolences to Turkey, to the Turkish government and the Turkish people over this particular incident. Israel knows only full well what it feels like to have incidents like this take place in towns and cities. So, of course, there is a lot of sympathy. But there's just that little kind of niggle in the relationship between Israel and Turkey, and one wonders, it's going to be interesting to see how things roll from this moment onward under these circumstances.
Indeed. Ukraine supported a UN resolution against Israel on Friday. I see that they've almost kind of apologized for this. This is a strange story, isn't it?
Well, let's start with the UN resolution before we talk about Ukrainian involvement in and what they did. The UN General Assembly Fourth Committee sat on Friday and voted on the issue of, and this was the resolution title, Israeli practices and settlement activities affecting the rights of the Palestinian people and other Arabs of the occupied territories. That was the title of the resolution, and it called upon this committee to support the idea of the International Court of Justice rendering urgently an advisory opinion on Israel's prolonged occupation, settlement, and annexation of Palestinian territories. That was the subject matter that was put before the UN General Assembly Fourth Committee on Friday, and the vote went as follows. 98 countries in favor, 17 countries opposed, and 52 abstentions. Now, out of the 98 countries in favor, we had an interesting cast of characters. Egypt, Jordan, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, and of course, Ukraine. Now, the Ukrainian involvement in voting in favor of this vote has come under quite a lot of criticism from a personal aide to Volodymyr Zelensky by the name of Alexei Arestovich. Alexei Arestovich. He is a personal aide to the president of the Ukraine, and he has said the following. We are teaming up with Russia and Iran, who are attacking us, and we are distancing ourselves from Israel, who we want as an ally. Those were the words of Alexei Arestovich, who is an aide to Zelensky. And as you say, it sounds almost like the Ukrainians are apologizing for being on the wrong side of this particular resolution. The Ukrainian aide has suggested that at best, Ukraine might have wanted to abstain rather than support that vote. And it's not exactly clear where the vote goes from here. In other words, what the consequences of this vote are, whether in fact the International Court of Justice will become involved. But it's a very fascinating situation for Ukraine to be in, because now with the change of government, it's felt as if though, Zelensky was very much trying to, get closer to President-elect Netanyahu in order to potentially try to change the nature of the relationship between Ukraine and Israel. We will see how this goes from here.
Indeed, we will. 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.